You see the pearly colored gates open behind me. Got to think of another name for that, but when you see those open up, that's what it will be about. We're going to be baptizing Philip today in the name of Jesus. And anyone else that wants to be baptized, today's a great day. Amen. The Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost last week. And it wasn't, you know, he wasn't thinking, I hope I can get baptized on Easter. It's just, the timing was just right. But if you just want to be baptized on Easter Sunday, the water is perfect. A little cold, but I mean, it's perfect because it's baptismal water. Amen. Well, I want to read a text, and after that, you can be seated. Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to read two verses before you're seated. Luke 23 and 33 and 34. And welcome to everybody that is here. You're here from out of town. You're here nearby. Thank you so much. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Isn't that strange that it's just put in a few words, there they crucified him. But it didn't entail something quite so simple as that. But it's just a portion of a sentence that changed the world. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And at that moment, they were forgiven. He wasn't asking a favor. This is God robed in the flesh. The man talking to the Spirit, and he said, Father, forgive them. They're forgiven. Don't worry about them. They did what was needed. He said, they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Just another day at the foot of a cross. I want to talk about Friday people. Friday. Everyone here loves Friday. And I think it will probably resonate with you. We all enjoy Friday. For myself, I'm a Thursday person because it's the furthest you can be away from Monday in both directions. Seriously, Friday's right there. Monday's way back, and Monday, I don't even see it. So I always love Thursday because Friday was next door. And I started enjoying Friday on Thursday. I don't want to talk about Friday people. Lord, we ask your blessings today, your presence in this house, God. And Lord, each individual that is here today, I pray that your Spirit could guide them and bless them. I want us today, Lord, to leave differently than we came. Lord, you are the one that changes lives, changes hearts. You can change our future in a few moments today. We ask in Jesus' name, Father, let it be. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now I want to go to Matthew and read a little more for this day as Easter. And Matthew 27, and I'm going to go to verse 35 and read a while. It said, Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And those who passed by, they blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also mocking with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Hanging on the cross, they were alive enough to turn and say the same thing to him. If you be God, come down and help us too. No respect at all. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. Then the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple, 4 inches of woven tapestry, was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rock split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now we believe him. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Friday people. Friday, they were winning the battle. Friday was easy. He didn't say words. He didn't resist them at all. They had taken him late the night before and arrested him. Judas leading them to the one that he had followed for over 3 years, Judas, the one that was a turncoat, a robber, and a thief, the one that would later commit suicide, throwing that money at the feet of the priests and try to hang himself with a rope that wouldn't even have anything to do with him, and the rope broke and he fell into the field. Friday people, they have no idea. They didn't then, and today there is that same mentality. They have no idea the power that is in the blood. The power that was in the blood that flowed so freely. The blood that began to fall down his face when they took a crown of thorns, making fun of him, and pressed it into his head just so that it would break the skin. They didn't realize that first drop of blood right there is going to eradicate sin of anybody that's ever take on his name in baptism, because that is what we have to have, is the name that applies the blood. They didn't know that that crown of thorns had just released healing for so many, because by those stripes we have been healed today. And I thank God for his healing power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They had already scourged him after that, and the crown on his head, and then at that time the blood was flowing freely, and they had seen it before. This is the way they treated robbers and thieves. Not the crown of thorns, not the priestly or the kingly robe, not the scepter in his hand making. But they didn't do that. That was reserved just for the one that they thought was a fake king. But Jesus interceded on their behalf because he was a Savior, and he was born to be a Savior, and it was in his fiber, it was in his DNA that he was a Savior. So he lifted up his voice and said, Father, you forgive all of these right now. Don't lay this against their charge. And they received forgiveness for what they had done right then. If they had faith to understand it, they would be all right. We don't know who it was. They didn't give them a plaque or a parade. They didn't put their name in scripture or history books. But we know that the Savior started saving immediately. As soon as the blood began to flow, he started saving. Father, forgive them. The Friday crowd, they just needed to hear the message of his mercy. They're fickle people. The Friday ones are just there to make sure he's dead. They get caught up in the excitement of the crucifixion. And you know there were those, like it can be today when people have a mob mentality, that there were those that just simply got in line with whatever the common voice was and said, yeah, that's what we believe. Crucify him. That's what needs to happen. I was leaning that way, but I believe. There were those in that crowd undoubtedly who was related to some of the people who had miracles in their their life. But they disregarded that because he makes us uncomfortable. He's unpredictable. We don't really know what he's about, but he won't leave us alone everywhere we go. He's there. He's done something. And people are constantly being troubled with these miracles in their life. And people are uncomfortable with things they can't understand and decipher. People just kind of sometimes arrive at a quick decision of, let's just shove it out of the way because I don't want to deal with that right now. But see, after the Friday crowd, then you've got Saturday people. Well, because we're going in the days of the week. And so after Friday, there's Saturday. And Saturday was a very peaceful day. Not much happened. You've seen the aftermath of a parade, a holiday, the Macy's Day Parade. They got pictures of litter all over the streets. The next day, it's not there. They clean it up. They know there's going to be confetti, and it's all cleaned up, and it's spick and span. They got crews for that. They got people that for all year, that's maybe the biggest job they do is we're parade cleaner uppers. But the day of, it's pretty major. And do you know that the next day on Golgotha, no crosses. There were blood on the ground. There was some precious blood on the ground too. But it was over with. They didn't let them stay there. They had to take them down before the sun went down. So he was taken down. Usually they hung there and suffered, and that was the deal. They wanted them to suffer, and they wanted crowds to see the robber suffer so it would deter people from committing crimes. And they would have the nails in their hands that would be excruciatingly painful, and as they would try to pull themselves up, it would hurt worse. And then they'd have to let their weight down on the nail that was driven through both feet, one laid on top of the other with a spike driven through. And the pain was unbearable. And because they're hanging like this, it caused the chest cavity to fill up with water, so that the heart couldn't beat and the lungs couldn't operate. And so they began to breathe very short, and they could live like that for a while. And then they would come up to them with a hammer, and they would break the bones in their legs, and it would cause them to immediately go into shock, and they would die right then because they couldn't take one more thing. And when they came to Jesus, the scriptures already said, Old Testament, not a bone of his body will be broken because he gave up the ghost. He said, I'm in charge here. It's finished. It is finished. Now it's finished. That's what he came for. He came to die. And he's the one that said, I'll call the shots here. It's finished. Don't lay this to their charge. You're all right. This is what I came to do. If you want to see the losers, it was the devils of hell that didn't understand the ramifications of the blood that was flowing on the ground because it cleanses your sins away. Oh, the enemy cannot have a hold on you anymore because the blood of Calvary is able to save to the utmost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Saturday, people. Mary Magdalene, I feel for her. I feel for her because out of her, the Lord, he cast out seven demons. She was so possessed by these demons. And when he's gone and she can't be near him and she can't hear him, and no doubt her mind began to wander. She didn't know what the day would bring. She didn't know how things would unfold. We have the benefit of history. We understand it. We're not afraid of it. But think of Mary Magdalene. And her mind going back to her past and wondering, how long is this going to last? And will the demons come back? And no doubt there were demons speaking to her, trying to get into her space and cause her to slip up and just to be tormented is all. And she's needing to know this is not it. And that had to be a lonely day for her, one lonely day. We've all had a bad day. But I think Mary Magdalene had a terrible day. She was likely hearing them torment her mind on this day. But she didn't know that Jesus' name, his name is everlasting. And when he rebuked those demons, when Jesus Christ spoke to them and they had to leave her, that name, the voice of Jesus Christ, it locked it down. It caused her to be free from that day forward. No demon is going to come back intact where the power of God has already locked the door. He's able to keep that which we commit unto him against that day. Amen. And she was committed to her Savior. I'm not afraid of anything that could have happened to her, and I'm not afraid of anything that can happen to me, because the name has been applied, and the name has been applied to you. There is no more torment. There is no more fear. Oh, what a name. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus. Demons tremble. Demons tremble. They don't like that name. The name has power over them. There's no need to fear your enemy. Listen to me. Oh, but my cousin, my nephew, my aunt, you may know people in your family, and you may think there's some family thing going on that causes you to feel uncomfortable, and you may be next. I want to tell you that as long as you know the name of Jesus, as long as you know how to talk to him, all you got to do is mention that name in the name of Jesus, and the demons have to leave, because there's power in the wonderful name of Jesus. It is forever power. It's not just a Sunday power. It's a Saturday night power. It's a Friday after the party. Party power. You can just call on the name. He will hear you. He will comfort you. I thank God for the name of Jesus. He's given it to you for your benefit. Hallelujah. Think about Abraham. Let me just go back to the Old Testament for a moment. That the Lord spoke to him and said, take your only son Isaac, and I want you to go up to Mount Moriah. And he's going to be a sacrifice. He's going to be a sacrifice. We, again, have the benefit of history. We don't worry about that story. We don't worry. We've seen the ending. He didn't have the ending, but he kind of did, because the Bible calls him faithful Abraham. He had faith. Where are you going? He told the servants, we're going to go up there and sacrifice and come back. He made sure he told them, we're coming back. Now, he didn't know how this is all going to play out. But he understood that if God can take a man that's too old to father kids, and a wife that's too old to be a mother of kids, past the age of childbearing, the Bible said, that if God can bring a child from a woman that's too old to have children, insomuch that when the angels promised it, she started laughing. And the angels called her on it, threw her yellow flag. I didn't do anything. That ain't my penalty. And they go, oh, yeah, you did laugh. You laughed. I don't think it was an angry reprimand. I think it was just to bring a point to the fact that it was so ludicrous and ridiculous that she laughed. And the angels wanted to say, everybody notice she laughed, okay? Because times will change. Places will change. You may not ever understand the significance of Sarah being too old to have a kid. But the angel wanted to let us know. It's a crazy thing that happened to her. She laughed until a year later, she had a baby. And when he's maybe 12, 13 years old, we don't know, he was old enough to carry the wood. And what a sight that Isaac goes up there with his dad carrying the wood. And he's kind of looking around, got the wood, got the flint rock, got the kindling. Dad, I noticed here we had rope. And we had kindling wood, and we have the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Quivering a little as he says it, maybe. God himself will provide a sacrifice. Abraham knew, fully believed. Now, I don't think he knew there was going to be a ram with its horns caught in the bushes. I don't think he knew that. But he knew that God would be able to raise up Isaac if he so desired. Because he knew that he and Isaac were going to come back down the mountain and they were going to go about their business. I don't know how God is going to take care of the issues. I don't know how God is going to come through, but I can tell you, he will come through. You just got to have faith in what you don't see, and God's going to do the rest for you. Amen. God will, God will, God will. So how can I trust and how can I love again? He will make up the difference. He will make the two ends meet. He will take care of your issues, your fears, your problems, your worries, your anxieties. He will do that. I want to tell you. Oh, yes, yes, you will be there again. How do I curb my addictions? How do I take my past and try to cover it up or wipe it away? Don't worry about those things. Give them to Jesus. You need to walk up the mountain. You don't have to have what it takes. He gives you what you need when you get to the battlefield. He gives you. David went there just to check on his brothers, and he didn't take all he needed, but he had a sling in his hand, and that's all it took to turn the tide of the battle. It's just about you trusting the God that you feel in this house right now. Hallelujah. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. Amen. C.C. Crawford, how long were you sick? 2 years. She came in here on a scooter. She couldn't walk. Her lungs would not allow her to breathe. 2 Sundays ago, we just, in the name of Jesus, prayed for her. She threw her hands up and she ran around the church. God healed her immediately. That's our God, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. How can I trust and love again? How can I get rid of these problems, these demons, these thoughts, this past? Hey, don't worry about it.
That's right.
Amen. I asked Jason if I could use this story. And the Ramsey's great family with 3 kids. And just it's really awesome watching them grow. And God had, I won't go into the details, but many years ago, God had shown me that they were going to come to this church. I'd never seen them, and they walked in, and it was like, wow, you know, another story for another time, maybe. But again, significance. God knows how to say this is significant. And unbeknownst to anyone but Krista and Jason, she decided, now, she said I said this. I guess I did, because it's a principle that I've shared before. But she said, I said to the church, you know, if you want to raise on your job, pay tithes on the amount you want to have instead of on what you're making. Pay tithes on what you want. And so she asked Jason if she could do it. He said, sure. So she started paying tithes a whole lot more than what they were making. And basically double, you know, she started paying tithes. What if God doubled? And just in a conversation a few weeks ago, Jared was ministering at Hatch Bend. In a conversation, a guy across the table said, hey, our company could use somebody like him. And just like that, he told me, he said, Pastor, when we look at the numbers, if you double what we were making, that's what we got right now. God answered a prayer. Yes. Can you say praise the Lord? Yes. We've all gone through the Saturday mentality. We've been there. We've been in Saturdays. But hold on, it's just a dead time. It's just a waiting time. It's a waiting room. You're standing in the line. But just stand still and see the glory of God. Amen. Just stand still. We must learn to leave the saving details to Jesus sometimes. We got to say, Lord, I don't see how, but I know it's going to happen because you're God and I'm not. So just do your thing. Lord, just do what you got to do. Amen. Just heal, just save. And last of all, just, and this should give you a great deal of hope. I'm already to Sunday, people. And I'm not talking about Monday, people, because Monday is a downer. Yeah, I know it's tomorrow, but you know, it's nothing good about Mondays most of the time. Be glad you have a job when you get up and have to go to work. There's my Monday mention. Mary Magdalene was the first one that Jesus wanted to greet. And so he made sure. Because why? Why? She's the one that had the most to lose. She was the one that had the most to lose. And she went back to that empty tomb because that's the last place he was. You know, I've found we all go through times like this, and maybe this will help you, but raise your hand today if even living for God and with the Holy Ghost, you have times where you don't even feel like you have anything. Now, I'm participating. I'm not just trying to get you to raise your hand. All right. Hold on. I'm going to take a picture. No, we understand that, don't we? There are times that I've been here in this wonderful church, and I feel dead. It's not about me and God had words or he's on a break. No, it's just sometimes our minds can't take it anymore. Everything is filtered through our consciousness, our minds. And every now and then we get overwhelmed and it happens. And so spiritual people have battles too. Everybody has battles where you feel carnal. You feel lost. You feel like a failure. We go through those times like that. But Mary Magdalene was the one that Jesus wanted to greet first. Get this picture. Jesus loves mercy. He loves showing you mercy. He said, I would rather have mercy and not sacrifice. I'd rather, if I had my druthers, have mercy on somebody than to see them sacrifice for me. Why? Because mercy is a double win. It draws you in closer to Him, and you get something for nothing. Mercy means you don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to give it to you. Mercy is bigger than your greatest mistake. Amen. Mercy's bigger than your biggest failure in life. Mercy is already there saying, we've been there all day waiting on you. We're going to take care of this right now. That's the mercy of God. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't say it. So that God, He was God in the flesh. He said it so others could record that He was interceding and saying, mercy right now, mercy right now. He's dying. He's about to breathe His last breath. The devil had no idea what was about to happen. The enemy didn't know what was about to be unleashed. Hell was about to throw a party. They were in the midst of it right then. He's dead, he's dead, he's dead. Son of God just breathed his last. Oh, Mary Magdalene, he said, woman, Mary, he called her by name, Mary. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, says, sir, please tell me where you've laid him so I can go and take him. Yes. I don't think she was big enough, but she just didn't know what to say. Just, he needs a proper burial. They've stolen him, and I want to put him somewhere. Somewhere. He's worthy of that. Mary, her eyes were opened and she realized it was Jesus. First, Mary. And then he said, go tell my disciples. And Peter. Oh, yeah, there's a reason for him too. He cared about the guilt that Simon had carried. He cares about what you carry also. Simon, before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. He said that Thursday night. And Simon said, oh, Lord, I'd die for you. It's easy when you're in this atmosphere to say, Lord, I'd do anything for you. But when you're out there hearing, crucify him, kill him, stone him, hang him on a cross, Simon said, I don't know him. Oh, you're one of them. Your voice betrays you. No, I don't. I'm not one of them at all. And that third time, the rooster crowed, and the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at him. Oh, did you have to stare at me? He wasn't looking at him like, told you. No. He goes, I want you to remember this moment right here. Significance. God knows how to make a moment significant. Significant. Simon Peter wrote, 1 Peter 5 and 6, 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. When he looked at Peter over there, he wasn't looking at him wanting him to feel shame. He was looking at him because he was feeling shame, and he wanted him to understand something. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. This is not over right now. If we submit to his care, he will exalt us and lift us up in due time. And the burden bearer says that we need to cast all of our cares on him, all your worries, all your fears on him, because he cares for you. Your humiliations, they belong to him. Your failures, you need to give them to Jesus because he knows why. You've labeled yourself and you've said, I'm just not cut out. Yeah, maybe so. We're not all superhumans. We're average at best. We've got things we're good at, and we've got things we don't talk about. We like the things we're good at. Shine a light on them. wax it, polish it, set it up right. But our failures, it's in the garage back there. And then in the garage, there's this little cabinet with a door with two padlocks on it. That's my failures. There's roaches and rats. Don't even get out there and bother it. You know, that's we want to keep them way out of sight. We don't put a flashing neon light, not on our failures. And Jesus looks right at them and says, I love you so much. Because I can take care of all that too. So when they had eaten breakfast, I'm coming to a close. John 21 and 15. Jesus said to Simon, now, there's the disciples. Peter said, you know, this is after resurrected. They'd seen him twice in the room there, and poor doubting Thomas had didn't see him. He wasn't there the first time, and they said, I'm not going to believe y'all saw him unless I can reach in and touch his scars. And Jesus like, I can do that. So the next day, he's there. Hey, check this out. Reach in there. Feel. And doubting Thomas. We only call him, Jesus didn't call him doubting Thomas. He might have called him missed the first chance Thomas. Because really, anyone else would have probably said this thing. Are you telling me you saw it? Well, he was here. He's in the flesh. And he reached in. My Lord and my God. He goes, you know, that's great that you believe now that you're touching my scars, but blessed are they, which is, that's us here. Blessed are they that have never touched the scars and they believe. Blessed, y'all. You're blessed. God says, blessed are they that believe and they've never touched the scar. That's the blessing of serving him. He takes credit. He gives you credit by just having faith in that unknown. So Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. So he goes, and a lot of them went with him. Not all of them, but they went with him. And they're out there fishing, and Jesus appears on the shore. Children, have you any meat? And he told them what to do. They obeyed. Simon hauls out of the boat, took off his fisherman's coat so he could swim, and he just swam ashore. And John, he made it there too. And so there they are, and Jesus has fish, fresh baked, and bread. And he says, come and dine. I've got a great breakfast for y'all. And then he talks to Simon, and he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He talked, pointing to the other disciples. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, just feed my lambs. A few seconds went by, maybe a minute. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, we've known people that'll say something and forget they said it and say it again. But normally not someone 33 years old. But he did. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, I want you to tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, and I think it was pretty close together, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter is saying, I'm the failure. And he's asking me to feed sheep. He knew what he was talking about. Yes. I'm the one that failed. I'm the one that denied. Jesus. And he's telling me to feed the sheep. Most assuredly, he said, yeah, most assuredly. I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands, and another will gird and carry you where you do not wish. That's what's going to happen to you. This he spake, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. Simon watched him hang on a cross and saw him die. And he said, you, Simon, you need to follow me. Simon is one we know was crucified. And history says at the last, he said, please just turn me upside down. I don't want to be crucified like my Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of it. But the Lord prepared him. The Lord ascended, and some days later, we think it would be about 10 days later, they were where they were supposed to be in that upper room. And it was Simon that spake and said unto them. He's the one that proclaimed salvation. He's the one that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, because he was following Jesus. He's the one, as he preached, 120 were filled in that room, and then 5,000 and 3,000. And on the story goes, as the city was turned upside down by the power of God. Can you stand with me? His power raises people up. You need to expect to be raised up. His love will forgive you of every sin.
Yes.
You couldn't be forgiven by just repenting and saying, God, forgive me.
Yes.
I think of those at the base of the cross, the soldiers arguing over his seamless garment. The garment was woven all the way top to bottom, and intricate piece of clothing that you wear under your robe. And they said, don't cut this. It hasn't been sewn together. And as they fulfilled scripture and they cast lots for it. And one of them won. And there he is under the cross of Jesus Christ. And he walked away with a t-shirt. I wonder if he ever knew what was there. Right there. Right there. Salvation. Salvation. Cleansing blood. Philip believed when he touched him. Lord, I can identify with that. Sometimes I feel like I'm more like Philip than Simon. Because I've had my time of doubts. And I think you have too. But Friday people, they get caught up in the emotion. They sometimes miss the meaning of it all. Friday people may walk away. But I'm thankful today that God has given us a Sunday gospel, a resurrection gospel, a power gospel, a gospel of mercy. Amen. Lord, we praise you. Lord, I thank you today for your wonderful blessings that are demonstrated in this house right now. God, we thank you for your goodness to this church. And Lord, for your presence that is abiding even now. Amen. We're going to baptize Philip in just a moment. But if you would like to come and stand down here and pray, this place is open. Let's take advantage of the presence that is here right now. There's healing in this house, y'all. There's salvation in this house right now. Oh, yes, there is. God, we praise you because you're our helper. You're our Savior. You're our God. We thank you, Lord, because your mercy is great. Your mercy is real. Thank you, Lord. We give you all of our praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your work. Thank you, God, for your wonder of your works. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
and I just had to talk about getting baptized. And those of you that were here last week, seen him get the Holy Ghost. He came up to pray for somebody else.
Yeah.
So just in case those of you that are wondering what it takes, maybe you pray for somebody else. Amen.